This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
After Zoomies at the dog park, it's time for Drive Up at Target. In goes a big bag of kibble and one squeaky chicken toy for the good boy. Drive Up that's ready when you are. Only in the Target app. Just tap Target.
Welcome back.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Give me one good reason you're not a nudist.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Well, I would say Little Steve.
Oh, because of your Little Steve. Because of his little TJ.
Today's guests. Former MLB pitcher Jim Abbott, actor Freddie Prinze Jr., plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right, everybody. The Rich Eisen Show is on the air, otherwise known as the Not DFL at the ACC program.
Hey.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here after our dark week is complete. We're thrilled that you're all with us here once again. We're all happy together here again on the Rich Eisen Show, on the Roku Sports Channel, on this terrestrial radio affiliate, on the Infinity Sports Network, smart enough to have us, Odyssey. We say hello to everybody out there taking us in on our podcast network as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a chat with us. Major League Baseball is in its all-star break now, and we're happy to be here with lots to talk about. It's a Monday, which means it's Overreaction Monday. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman.
Rich, great to see you, man.
DJ Mikey Diaz and D's Nuts. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to see you, Rich. Good morning.
How are you? TJ Jefferson getting back at it on the no contest wrestling as well with O'Shea Jackson Jr. later on. Good to see you, TJ.
Good to see you. Had a huge weekend of wrestling. O'Shea and I split up. He went to Georgia. I went to Texas.
All right.
Lot to talk about.
Lots to talk about on this program as well. And scheduled to appear still, despite what may have happened physically to him over the weekend, Seth Rollins will be hosting this program Wednesday and Thursday right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'll be here for the next 2 days. And then after all of... the summer vacationing, we're back and off and running here. So it's good to see everybody here on this program.
Buddy, good to be back.
So the American Century Championship.
Yeah, buddy.
In which I participated for the first time in over 21 years.
Participate is a good word.
This past weekend. Well, I played. excuse me, sir. From karaoke to from karaoke to birdie putts. Plural.
Hey.
Didn't make any of them. to golf, to camaraderie, to everything else. It really is an amazing event. And it was special, to say the least. In a beautiful spot of our country, Lake Tahoe, Nevada. At the Edgewood Resort in the Edgewood Golf and community all together. It was truly one of the best weekends of my professional life, being there, meeting everybody that played in that tournament from, name it, all the football players that were there, basketball players, and getting out there with my Running Man gear, the hat and the logo, the Running Man logo on the hat and on the shirt, courtesy of Travis Matthew, and my PXG clubs out there. And I bless them for making me look good, because I don't know if I was so reciprocal in my golf game. But
you look good, you play good.
I appreciate that.
That's right.
That's the idea. Suze came out, and it was great to have her be part of this weekend as well, meeting everybody from, again, the American Century family and Jonathan Thomas, his wife Cindy, and the charitable contributions that they make, giving out millions of dollars to local and national charities, and then donating 40% of the profits of the American Century Championship to fight childhood and teen cancers. And you know that speaks near and dear to my heart. And over the years of this tournament, they've given out over $2.2 billion in that regard. And so, like I said, just to be part of it. And I have, it is special. I have nothing. I have nothing but more newfound, deep, mad respect for professional players. After playing in front of other human beings.
Yeah, man. It's not easy.
I can't tell you. I cannot tell you. The first round I played on Friday was with The Miz and Matt Ryan.
Awesome.
Okay. And this just in, The Miz and I were occasionally neck and neck. All right. Matt Ryan is a zero, which, by the way, is a terrible thing to be called in sports unless it's golf.
Correct.
And there are some times where it depends on the course. He will show up and give the course strokes. That's how good he is.
Okay. I don't understand how that
works. All right. Where it's just like, you know what? I will give the course strokes to play here today. Yeah.
Hey, it's an easy course. You know, on the easiest holes, and his, I should birdie them.
His ball flight, Matt Ryan's ball flight, is something so beautiful to behold. And it's even more beautiful because it was frequently, oh, all the time, not frequently, depending on which hole you're on at Edgewood, it is framed beautifully by mountains or a lake or a tree forest that is just as gorgeous as it comes, hot air balloons or boats, and I'm just, wow, it's unbelievable. Teeing off at this tournament, the American Century Championship on Friday on the first hole, I mean, my heart was thumping out of my chest.
I bet.
Standing over it. And Matt Ryan tees off, and it's gorgeous. It's perfect. I, of course, topped mine into a red stake area.
No way. Your first tee shot?
It's as embarrassing as it gets. Because I'm envisioning the entire months after accepting this invitation.
Yep.
How's it going to go? And I'm envisioning the perfect ball flight. Jim Murphy, the author of Inner Excellence, is telling you, live in the moment. Live just the don't moment. Worry about it. Go tee it up. Absolutely. And I took that approach. It's just operator error. But the one thing is, despite Matt Ryan putting it in position A and me putting it in position Z minus, we both walking up the fairway. And he says to me, do you have the feeling back in your hands yet? He goes, because I don't. And this is a guy who's been in the Super Bowl.
Wow.
And he's been in, name it. He's got a Hall of Fame resume, Matt Ryan.
And he's been sacked.
Arguably, I understand. He's, yeah.
By big men.
He's like, yeah. Do you feel your hands yet? And by the way, he said, I don't think you're going to be. He goes, trust me, the first time I played this, I didn't feel it until like the end of the second hole.
Wow.
I got a text today from a professional player. Now on the senior tour, I didn't get his permission, but I'm sure he wouldn't care if I said his name. But long story short is he said, at least you didn't finish DFL! Exclamation point. I finished second to last. And he said, try, what do you think? Try doing that for a living. And I'm thinking to myself.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially since, you know, like just say again, forget about there's human beings watching on home on television. Like I'm not thinking about that right now. We're on TV and radio, right?
Right.
Can't see them.
But even if they were sitting here, I love doing a live audience. I love being in front of people. I don't mind it. But standing there trying to hit a golf ball, and I'm like, there's some people standing there like, I'm a professional player. I'm like, you need to move back, ma'am. You know, like,
I don't know where this ball's going.
Honestly, I don't.
Yeah, you were in the line of fire.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I try, but I, you know, like I said, operator error. But so much respect for the men and women who do this professionally. I cannot imagine it. And then, you know, like say you're at 16 at Waste Management. Because I got that sensation being at 17 at the American Century Championship. Now, this is the hole that's underwater, okay? Par three. And there's a massive yawning amount of, what would you call it, tan sand? That is technically not a hazard.
But it's not a bunker.
But it's not a bunker either. Right, right. And then there's grass, and then there's bunker, and then there's green, and then there's grass. I mean, and then, I mean, there's green, and then there's another bunker, and then to the right is all out of bounds because it's filled with boats.
Yeah, the ocean.
And partiers. Yeah. And beach balls. Yep. And bikinis. And behind my Sunday pairing with Dylan Dreyer of the Today Show, who's delightful, and her husband as well, and Jay DeMarcus of Rascal Flatts. You see back there, there's an American Century backboard of a three-point setup, a basket. Because invariably, you've got to wait because there's somebody on the green. They want you to shoot hoops, and there's music blaring. Yep. And it is, the only way to describe it is a fever dream. Because you're coming out. They create like this alleyway that's covered from the 16th green to the 17th tee that goes around the, I think it was like three tiers or two levels of fans that are right behind the tee box with a big ass jib camera and the Golf Channel set up with their own desk.
Yep.
And then to the right, shoot hoops. To the left, it's like, hey, you know, the fans are like 10 deep and they're blaring music, partying. Like it's 1999, having the time of their lives.
2000.
Which I'm trying to figure. I'm having the time of my life too, but I gotta peg it up in front of all these people in this environment. And there's a DJ and people, you know, in the boats with the bikinis and the beer. They got footballs and they tape a Sharpie to it and throw it. You gotta sign it, throw it back.
Sign it, throw it back.
Unbelievable. Fans were amazing. The atmosphere was, my heart was thumping. So, how'd I do on this one?
Oh gosh.
Peg it up on Friday. First time doing that. Well, Thursday was the pro-am. It was similar to this, but this is now the tournament, okay? Right. And I teed off the front. So, you know, I'm playing 17, and there are some real sticks behind me, like Steph Curry's behind me. And all these other folks are behind me, Twelman and Pavelski. Right? So they're waiting. This is a massive crowd. And I peg it up. I take out my 7-iron, and I cooked it.
Ooh.
Left. It hit the hospitality tent or one of the stands of the fans that are there around the green. So I was able to get a free drop to the drop zone, which is about 50 yards away from the green. I got a 56 degree in my hand, and this is not my forte, but I did take, thanks to Lucas Wall. Thank you, Lucas. I did take lessons for my short game, and I just said, Jim Murphy, this thing.
Be in the moment.
In the inner excellence. Be in the moment. Live in the moment. This is great. Don't worry about it. Okay. Forget about everything going on around you.
Yeah, the boats Fellini and the music. And the,
I mean, it's insane.
And the bikinis and the booze.
TJ, it's insane. I cannot. And by the way, knowing you.
TJ, we're going. Hey, we're going next year.
Some of the we're going next year, baby. On the beach might have distracted you a little bit.
We're going next year.
You saw some
you
things.
Know, you know what I'm saying?
You saw some things down there.
I saw some things. All right? And some of them are fans of this show.
Hey, now.
We definitely should have been there.
Sir, you know, I'm telling you, there's a lot happening that will cause you to not think there's a 56-degree wedge in your hand and a 50-yard shot, and everybody... From the bikini blondes to the beer drinkers to all fans, anywhere they are, this 56 degree could be Vince Scully right down in their grill.
Take the shot. Take the shot.
And I took the shot. And it was 20 yards right over the stick and came back a little bit to 20 feet. 20 feet, bro. Okay. Golf clap. Yes, sir. I did the wave.
Yes.
I waved. I did the wave. I even did the little touch the brim.
Just a touch.
Boom. I'm thinking to myself, I've got a par putt here on 17. I stepped over it. center cut.
Mm.
Dropped it.
Bam.
And I parred 17.
Attaboy.
Didn't start well, but it's how you finish. How no you finish. Pictures keeps on the scorecard.
Back. Keeps it coming
oh
back.
Oh, my God. And the gauntlet that you run of fans to the left and the right going from 17 green to 18 tee is like 10 deep. And there's a Travis Mathew three-point shot opportunity as well. Steph Curry was like, did you see some of these videos?
I did.
He swished it by flipping it over his head.
Yeah, I mean, Vince Carter hit like 5-6 in a row. Dude, like it was nothing.
And fans are there and they're loving it. And by the way, fans are, you know, the fans were awesome. They were awesome and they're accessible and they're all children of all ages. And some kids are like asking me to sign their hats, like 4, 5, 6 years old. Sign this, sign that. There's no question in my mind. They have absolutely no clue in the world of who I am, just knowing that I'm a player. All right. And they want an autograph.
A player.
I just want it. Yeah, damn straight. Don't be a player hater.
Right? No.
No, I'm a player.
Player.
In the tournament, player. Not a player.
Either or.
I finished second to last. I'm not a player. And again, just going through all of that and then having it, your 18th tee shot where there are and fans everywhere and atmosphere everywhere. And I'm just telling you from my perspective, however you see it on NBC, and thank you to John Miller and the rest of everybody there at NBC Sports and Rick Cordella. They are so welcoming to everybody to the point where everybody talks to each other about, you know, make sure you come back. Make sure you come back because this isn't easy. Stay here. Everybody wants to stay in the circle of trust.
Yep.
Everybody... From everybody, soup to nuts, it's first class, first rate. However you see it at home, it is exactly how you think it is. And man, I do not know how these professional players do it for a living. I just don't. And you're sitting there going, oh God, this guy's got the yips or this, you know, this player can't do it. This player is never going to do it. Like Rory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sitting on his career Grand Slam.
Yeah, can't win at Augusta, always chose.
You try it.
Yeah.
Because I just did.
Golf is so hard.
They treat this like a real-ass golf tournament. All of it. Because it is. It just happens to be, you know, celebrities playing in it. And God bless it. I'm standing on the first heap. The range right before my first hole on Friday, and somebody from the tournament comes up to me and says, just confirming you're playing as an amateur. And I told the guy.
That's incredible.
That's what he said. Just to confirm you're playing as an amateur.
Excuse me, what now?
Here's my response. My response is, yes, I can confirm this. And I feel like I've just been carded for a drink at age 56. I know you got to go through it, but I'm flattered by the question.
Right.
You know, thank you for carding me for a drink.
I mean,
you know, like when you get a beer at the stadium, like it's their job. They have to ask.
No matter how old you look.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It's been a while.
Still got it.
I still got it. Just to confirm, you're playing as an amateur in this event. Yeah.
I am. Not turning pro. No, I'm good.
I am. Yep. Oh, God. I got tons of stories, man.
It's great. I want all of them. It looks like so fun. I watched all of it all weekend. You know, it's funny because there's only about 10, 12 people who can actually win this thing.
Right.
You know, and like Joe Pavelski finally won this year, the former NHLer.
Right.
He had been so close in the last few years. Our buddy Marty Fish, defending champ. You know, John Smoltz came on and said, I got two new hips and I'm ready to go. He finished second. Like, it's cool. And the whole rest of it is just one giant big hang.
Yes, it is.
With kind of the golf is kind of secondary, but
can't confirm
it's so cool to see you out there and competing. And
thanks.
Like, you're not a golfer. You haven't played in a long time, but you grinded the last. Unlike your 40, you actually kind of trained for this.
Yes, I did.
And you put yourself out there, and that takes a lot, you know. To do what you did, put yourself out there like that.
Yes.
And kind of be subject to, like, oh, Rich Eisen, second to last.
Dude.
Like, who cares?
You
it's
have
fun.
No idea.
Yeah, it's awesome.
You have no
good
idea.
Good for you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But you have no idea the pressure like that. Because I just, you know, it's unreal. It's unreal. You know, how pressurized the whole damn thing is. So, congrats to Joe Pavelski. This ain't easy.
Oh, man, eagle on 18 to seal the deal. That's awesome.
And they set it up like they were, you know, that.
Well, they want you to kind of.
For me, if I'm walking to the tee and I'm like, this could be a birdie hole for me, you know, for those guys.
Right.
And for, you know, Annika Sorenstam is in this tool, in this tournament as well.
Yeah, she finished seventh.
Right.
She played
so,
great.
You know, for them, that's what they want. They want an eagle. They want massive movement atop the leaderboard.
Well, a couple years ago,
second.
Yeah, when Steph Curry won, he made eagle on 18 to win.
Well, that's the beauty of the Masters is on the backside, there's some serious movement that can be made. If you're way back, you still have a chance, you know? And so again, the American Century Championship, if I sound like I'm raving about it, can confirm it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Got more stories to come. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to contact us. I saw Matt Maiocco there as well. Kind of funny, our, if you will, 49ers insider, saw him there. And the I did his show as a reciprocation of the number of times he's done ours, and he's about to do it again. We're like, hey, you know, it's kind of crazy. There's no drama. The Niners have signed everybody. And Juwan Jennings is like, hold my beer, please, or give me a new contract, or I want a beer somewhere else.
I know.
So we'll talk to Matt Maiocco next on what's going on with Juwan Jennings. Yeah, it's an actual NFL story here on the middle Monday of July. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions, so it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal, check for traffic, and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. Navy Federal can help you find and finance the right vehicle with ease. And this summer, you're in the driver's seat with savings. You could get a $250 bonus when you buy your next car through Navy Federal's car buying service powered by TrueCar and finance with Navy Federal. With this tool, you can find the vehicle that's right for you as you search through inventory and compare models. And you can get an amazing rate when you finance with Navy Federal. Navy Federal strives to support all active duty veterans and their families to achieve their personal and financial goals. And this partnership with TrueCar is one of the many tools Navy Federal uses to help its members. Make your plan with Navy Federal and TrueCar today. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. To qualify for the $250 bonus, car purchase and financing must be completed by September 2nd, 2025. Terms and conditions apply and are available at NavyFederal.org/TrueCar. Credit and collateral subject to approval. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. All right. I sent some pictures to Hoskins and the crew. So you just roll through them, and I'll just roll through them before we get back to our radio audience. And Matt Maiocco, just pop them up one by one. I'll just whatever you want to throw. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So this was the karaoke night. That's Brian Baumgartner and Rob Riggle, your two hosts, along with Jay DeMarcus of Rascal Flatts. The band was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll talk about that throughout the program. Roger Clemens, saw him for the first time in over 30 years, I feel, on Wednesday night upon arrival. There's Brian as well, hanging out there. All right, there's my fellow Staten Islander. Did not tell Colin Jost that I've been mentioning him and his wife's name with frequency here in regards to the Knicks coaching search.
I'm glad that you didn't do that.
But the College of Staten Island, which is where I learned how to drive.
Oh,
I took driving lessons at CSI.
Look at you.
Charles at the there's the driving range right there.
He had an incredible first day.
He holed one out.
Yeah.
Susie Eisen's husband.
That's right.
Shot 81.
This is the group behind us on Saturday. That's the GOAT, Jerry Rice, Vince Carter, and Matthew Tkachuk, who, by the way, sang We Are the Champions.
I saw on,
karaoke night.
As he should.
And I think he's in the, on the back end of a three-week bender in celebration. Fitz and DeMarcus Ware. As you can see, DeMarcus's dimple game is as good as a golf ball.
That's how I recognized him. I'm like, wait, who is that? Oh, dimples, DeMarcus Ware.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't mistake the beard.
We run through them?
Right.
Okay, there we go. There's Kittle. Here's Kittle. He was a first-timer.
Nice.
And then, of course, Travis Kelce, ladies and gentlemen.
With the Edgewood hat.
And he went with the Edgewood hat.
Love it.
There's T. Kelce. Oh, this is a great story. So leave this up on the screen for a second. A bunch of kids playing wiffle ball right there on the grounds at Edgewood. Okay. You know who's pitching to him? Joe Mauer.
Did they know it's Joe Mauer?
They knew it was just some of these kids are Joe Mauer's kids.
Oh, okay.
And then a bunch just started coming around and Mauer just brought a wiffle ball and a bunch of wiffle ball bat and a bunch of balls.
That is the coolest.
And it just reminds me of back in the day at the Pro Bowl when Troy Polamalu used to play two-hand touch on the beach with kids. Joining us here now, NBC Sports Bay Area friend right now, covering the Niners. I saw him at Tahoe at Edgewood at the American Century Championship. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Maiocca returns to the program. Good to see you, Matt. Look at us.
Good to see you too.
When I left your set there on Wednesday, I didn't think you'd be on Monday's program. I got to be honest with you. Certainly since, right? We're sitting there, we're talking. Hey, you know, it's kind of crazy that the 49ers are drama free. Certainly from last year, all the contracts are signed. And now Juwan Jennings wants a trade because his $7.5 million, I would agree, is not commensurate for what he stands to have to be for the 49ers potentially. So I give you the floor. And what's going on with Juwan Jennings, Matt?
Well, he has plenty of leverage. There's no question about that. When you think, you know, no Deebo Samuel, he's been traded. Brandon Ayuk, you know, likely to miss a handful of games as he recovers from the ACL. You have DeMarcus Robinson, who started 17 games with the Rams last season and the 49ers signed as a free agent, a veteran guy. And his availability is a little bit in question as the NFL ponders whether to slap him with some league discipline under the policy for substances of abuse. So Jennings coming off was essentially a 1,000-yard season last year, as you noted, underpaid with an exploding wide receiver market. The problem for him is he is under contract. And, you know, if you are under contract and you hold out from training camp, you face significant fines. What will end up happening if he requests a trade? The 49ers are only going to trade him if they can feel like they're getting something out of it and it benefits them. There have been a lot of players through the years while John Lynch has been general manager who have requested trade as a negotiating ploy. He hasn't traded any of those guys except for this last offseason when Deebo Samuel, that was more of a mutual thing. They figured that had kind of run its course. But if he bets on himself and he has the kind of season in 2025 that he had in 2024, he stands to double his salary for next year. So it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. I'm actually a little bit surprised that it's taken this long, that this wasn't something that, you know, maybe was more prevalent during the offseason when he could have just stayed away entirely from the offseason program and maybe put the screws to the 49ers a little bit then. It just now it kind of seems a little bit late in the process for this to be gaining some momentum and some steam.
Well, I guess better late than never to get it out there. I guess if you're on the side of Juwan Jennings and you know, as always, I say here all the time, Matt, that, you know, we just see the tip of the iceberg. There's a larger iceberg when it comes to virtually every NFL story. And this kind of reeks of maybe Juwan Jennings' side got a response they were not happy with in recent days, or they thought that there could be a change of a stance by this point. And maybe that's what's up, Matt, just to speculate.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think even if you look a year out, you know, was it possible or did it seem likely that this was going to be Juwan Jennings' last season with the 49ers? Probably. You know, when you think about all of the big money contracts that they've doled out to keep their own guys in this offseason, you know, huge money, obviously, for Purdy, for Kittle, for Fred Warner. And so last year they drafted a wide receiver in the first round, Ricky Pearsall. They also drafted Jacob Cowing. This year they drafted Jordan Watkins. So they've tried to kind of stock up with some young wide receivers with the money they've already given Brandon Ayuk a year ago after a very tumultuous and roller coaster of a negotiations, which included, by the way, a trade request, which was not fulfilled. But certainly the 49ers did do some homework on that front. But, you know, do they have it, the wherewithal to pay two wide receivers $15+ million per season while also having high priced players at nearly every position group? So, you know, there was certainly a line of thinking where, you know, this probably would be Juwan Jennings' last year, because if he hits the open market, teams with in a lot better salary cap shape can sign him to a contract that the 49ers probably wouldn't be able to match unless they decide that they're going to move on from Brandon Ayuk. So it's not clear cut how the 49ers approach this, but, you know, ultimately, you know, I'm skeptical whether the 49ers can give him the kind of contract that he would want at this stage, which, as we talked about, would be a significant raise over what he has. It probably wouldn't have to be up to the level that he could get on the open market, but something maybe can kind of placate him by giving him a little bit more security, extended out a year. And so we'll see how this thing all transpires. But, you know, you can look at it from both sides. You know, both sides probably feel like they have leverage. From the 49ers standpoint, he is under contract for this season.
And didn't they improve it last year?
Yes, they did.
Right.
Yeah.
So like that, they could be, I understand, you know, they could be sitting here saying, well, we gave you a little extra toast last year. So here we are now. Like how many more times do we have to do this? And I guess, you know, Juwan Jennings is like, more. You can see obviously two sides of the coin here, Matt. What is the scoop with Ayuk? What do you know as we're on the cusp of training camp around the corner?
So what I've heard, he's making really good progress. I mean, even above and beyond kind of where they expected him to be. So he had that surgery in early to mid November. So he's about 8 months out from having the ACL surgery. What complicates it was it was an ACL, MCL, and also some other damage in there, some cartilage damage. So he looks very good. 49ers are very impressed. They're optimistic about where he is. He's going to start training camp on July 22nd when they report. He'll start on the PUP list. And there are some people who think like, well, gosh, there is a chance he could be ready for the start of the regular season. In all likelihood, the 49ers are going to pump the brakes on that and just make sure that when he comes back, he's fully ready to go. I mean, he is under contract through 2028, so they're not looking to just milk him for everything he's got this year and then cast him aside. So my guess, best guess would be that he opens the regular season on PUP, and then week 5 would be the first game that he'd be eligible to play. But that's a short week. That's a Thursday game against the Rams. So to me, if I were a betting man, probably week 6 would be the area. That would be so week 6 against Tampa Bay. Give him, you know, a full week to practice, to get up to speed and everything else. So I think that's where now that's all subject to change based on how he's looking in training camp as he's working behind the scenes and everything else, or if he has any setbacks, any of that nature. But I my best guess would be week six seems pretty logical.
Well, there's only a handful of teams for whom rookies report tomorrow. 49ers are one of them. So Robert Saleh, I imagine, will be the guy welcoming most of these rookies off the bus, right? Since that's the side of the football that they drafted on the most. Who should we be eyeing to arrive in Santa Clara that can be a significant contributor?
Yeah, it was the Robert Saleh draft. The first five picks for the 49ers, right, all defensive side, starting with Mykel Williams. So, you know, he's the guy that, you know, obviously at 11, 49ers had their eye on him. You know, you hear from every team, can't believe he was there. But I think for the 49ers, they really couldn't believe he was there because they did try to trade up and get Mykel Williams. They ended up staying at 11. They got him. So based down defensive end, where they lost a lot of guys on the defensive line, he's expected to be a starter, set the edge in the run game, and then maybe even move inside and rush the passer. So he's definitely one. Probably the biggest concern would be their second round pick, Alfred Collins from Texas, who didn't participate in the offseason program because of a calf injury. And he's one of 30 picks around the NFL, second round picks, who doesn't have a contract. And then probably the third guy would be Nick Martin, a linebacker from Oklahoma State, where the 49ers did make an attempt, albeit a little bit late, to re-sign Dre Greenlaw. Those linebacker spots, other than Fred Warner, were a weakness last year when Greenlaw wasn't out there. And so they're expecting Nick Martin to step in and play a significant role. Then the other four and five guys, the defensive players, Upton Stout, a nickelback who can step in right away and certainly compete for that nickelback job, playing, you know, 2/3 of the snaps. And then also CJ West from Indiana, a defensive tackle who should be a rotational player. So unlike maybe some of the past years where the 49ers roster was pretty much set and they didn't need a whole lot from the rookie class other than to just develop them for bigger roles down the line, this year is different. This year, the 49ers, with a lot of veteran players leaving, they need these rookies to get on the field and produce in a big way from day one.
And that day one is Tuesday. It's pretty. We've made it, Matt. Certainly in terms of you covering the 49ers. Last one for you. You know, I don't know how much you got around the American Century Championship there in Lake Tahoe, but obviously we're in North. You know, that part of Nevada is right. Right next door to Northern California, 49ers country, to say the least. And I got a lot from the gallery. Hey, how do you think the Niners are going to do this year? I'm assuming you did as well. How would you answer that question before I let you go, Matt?
Well, I think they're set up well, schedule-wise and just everything else, to certainly have a bounce-back season. I mean, they're not going to finish 6-11 unless something catastrophic happens. Health-wise, they're in a good spot, but there are a lot of unknowns, and it's this rookie class that, you know, they're placing a lot on. I don't think they're the juggernaut that they were during that run of, you know, four straight NFC championship game appearances. I don't think that team right now, but they do have a lot of potential. And there's a lot that has to go right. Those veteran guys like McCaffrey, Trent Williams, you know, those guys have to stay healthy. But they are definitely set up to have a major improvement over last year. I would expect them to be right there at the top of the NFC West. I think the schedule really favors them over the Rams, where the Rams have that first place schedule. The 49ers have the last place schedule. So just listen to this. The Rams play the division winners in these divisions. They play the Eagles, the Lions, and the Ravens, whereas the 49ers don't play those three teams. Instead, they play the Giants, the Bears, and the Browns. So that conceivably could be a one or two, maybe even a three game swing when you think of the games the Rams should lose on paper, obviously, and the games the 49ers should win. So that to me kind of pushes the 49ers over the top as far as being a favorite in the NFC West.
Well, as Kenny Mayne once famously said over and over again, my colleague from back in the day at SportsCenter, they don't play the games on paper, they play them inside television boxes. So we'll see how that works out. and then a week from Tuesday, do you think we see Juwan Jennings when training camp opens for everybody?
I do.
You do?
I do. I don't know that the contract that he'd be looking at would be such a huge contract that it would make total sense for him to hold out and incur those kinds of fines. So my guess is that ultimately, again, just a guess, that Juwan Jennings bets on himself, has himself a good year, and then probably cashes in big time in 2026.
We should have known better when we parted ways last Wednesday, Matt, right? Well, hey, the Niners are just drama-free.
Really drama-free. Hey, I have a question for you,
Rich. Yes, sir.
How nerve-wracking is it? Because when I play golf and I'm with three buddies, I'll often say to them, hey, don't stand there. I don't know where this is going.
Yes.
When you have people lined up on both sides of you, how... What was it like?
It was harrowing is the only way to put it. It was life affirming that we're all on the same planet and we all have nerves and we all have yips or can actually stripe it in those conditions. And I have nothing but the greater utmost respect further now of professional players. My gosh, Matt, unbelievable. It was It was handshaking, but it was all good, man. As you saw, it's so beautiful there. It's such a great spot. Okay. And it's such a great tournament. Thanks for the time, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Okay, Rich. Great to see you.
Too. Right back at you. That's Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports Bay Area.
Love it.
So of the football jerseys in the gallery, I will give you a guess of the three teams, and if you want to name the players, top three on the board. Here's your question.
Okay.
These were the most worn jerseys at the American Century Championship for any of the patrons. Yes, Chris, what do you got?
George Kittle.
George Kittle is number two. George Kittle is number two on the board. Mike, you want to go?
Mahomes.
Mahomes is not on the top three.
Ooh.
Not on the top three.
He also wasn't playing in the
NFL. He was not playing.
Doesn't matter, though.
It does matter. They want it signed. TJ, you want to go?
Is this just football?
Just football. Because if you want to include all sports,
Steph.
there were number 30 Warriors everywhere. I should have. That was number one. If you want to include all jerseys, just football.
I'm going to give a wild guess and say Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan is, you are incorrect.
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce is number three on the board.
Jerry Rice? Just
Jerry Rice is not on the board.
I did hear Joe Montana popped in.
Number one, just think about it. Think about it.
Josh Allen?
Bingo.
Oh, he played?
Did Hoskins just chime in somebody's ear?
No, I said it. I knew that he was playing.
I didn't know he was playing. I didn't see a picture of his name, obviously,
he's got the advantage of having watched.
I watched. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
Josh Allen, number one.
You saw more Josh Allen jerseys.
I'm assuming. I don't know if it's because he's from Fireball, California.
He's from Northern California.
Right, so, I mean, kind of a hometown guy. And, you know. The mafia's everywhere. That's absolutely true. Josh Allen jerseys and shirts and everywhere. But Kittle was a close second, and Travis Kelce was right there. And Curry. I mean, just a quick story on that one, and then we'll throw it a break. I'm going to say something potentially ignorant, as I said this to Grant Hill, as a matter of fact, while we were getting PT together prior to yesterday's round.
What's my guy?
Crazy.
G Hill.
Crazy. I'm next to Grant Hill getting worked on, getting ready to play golf. Anyway, long story short, I told Grant Hill this. I've never met Steph Curry before.
No?
In person. Never. First time ever. And the ignorant thing is, I'm about to say, potentially ignorant, I could not believe how tall he is. Yeah, if you think he's like 6 foot, 6 foot and change, 6'1", you know, little guy running around these screens and just popping it and getting knocked over because he's a little guy.
It's like 6'3", 6'4".
Dude, he is pocket passer quarterback tall.
Yeah.
I met him. I'm like, I couldn't believe how tall he is. He's 6'4" if he's a centimeter.
Yeah.
I think he's listed at 6'3", but I think he's taller.
Yeah.
Because they're out there with giants.
When he came, he was coming from one green to another tee box, and I was on the green that he's passing. Just said hello to him. We had a real quick exchange.
Listed 6'2".
Dude, not a chance. I had to look down to see, is he standing on a hill? And I looked down, I'm like, we were on flat ground. You know, and he, I'm telling you, man, the fact that he's that tall running around these screens and making these threes.
But looks that small in comparison. Like, it's crazy.
It's nuts.
One summer I hung out in New York with Tony Parker and Steve Nash randomly. And I'm fairly tall, right? And yeah. You thought those two guys were small.
Right.
They were both at least an inch taller than I was, and I was shocked.
TJ Jefferson, I couldn't believe how tall he was.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Brad's day is off to a slow start. So he heads to AutoZone, where batteries are as low as $89.99. Sammy, a local AutoZoner, tests his battery for free. Looks like he just needs a charge. And Sammy does that for free, too. In no time at all, Brad is back on the road, ready to finish the day strong. Free battery testing and charging at every store. No hassles, just help.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
What did you think of Aaron Rodgers' beer-chugging attempt at the Milwaukee Bucks playoff game a few weeks ago, Matt?
I'm like, it might have been an IPA or something like that. Those IPAs, that's not easy to chug.
Mm-hmm. Folks like Trubisky, Mahomes, your buddy Stafford stepped up and
they were talented, very talented when it came to that.
So where do you put yourself in this mix, Matt? Where would you rank? Where would you rank yourself?
Middle of the road.
Really?
For sure.
Well, I mean, and that's why I'm wondering why you would go by the name of Matty Ice, Matt. That's a beer-infused nickname, and it doesn't fit anymore. So. Would you agree it doesn't fit anymore, Matt?
Is the natural coming back, or are we making a push for the natural here?
No, I'm pointing out that certain nickname that you've had for a long time,
I like beer. I just throw it out there. I do like beer.
Right. So when it comes to it, though, you're not slamming them back, right? Is what you're saying.
No, I guess I'm drinking responsibly.
Okay. You're drinking something that would be responsible, something that would be a natural light of some sort, Matt? What are you drinking?
It's been a long time.
See? You keep making my point. Why won't you take the natural from me, Matt? Why won't you do it? I mean, how many times do I have to ask?
There's just nobody else wants it.
Are you aware I offered it to Stafford, your buddy?
Is that right?
Yes.
He didn't take it either.
Well, I mean, he...
That's a no, Matt.
Hold on a minute. Excuse me. Hold on. I gave him full disclosure that it was a retread and that you had rejected it. Because I know you guys talk. I know you guys are tight, right?
He forgot to mention it to me the last time I saw him.
I can't believe that wasn't top of mind for him. Okay, so just on behalf of all my loved ones who are cringing right now, just tell me to move on, Matt, and I'll move on. Just tell me to move on.
Rich, you got to move on. You got to move on. I love you, but you got to move on.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you so much.
Even if I gave you a T-shirt or anything? All right, Matt, I can take a hint after 9 years or so. So I know you're wondering. Because we were paired up on Friday.
I'm dying.
As soon as you saw that it was me along with the Miz and Matt Ryan, and I sent you guys that, and I knew.
This is the perfect.
I know that.
Perfect golf threesome.
So I
perfect.
So step up to the first tee with Matt Ryan. And I said to him, I said, you know, the guys back on the show are delighted that I'm playing with you because they think I'm going to try and, you know, get you to
one final time,
just one last time, you know,
move on, Rich.
And he looks at me, he goes, the natural.
You got to move on.
Hey, now that drop, I have a problem with because you removed the I love you part. I love you, but you got to move on.
Remember for years, Rich was mad and Mike said it didn't exist.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you heard that.
Yeah.
But and then we didn't say it. I didn't do it the rest of the day.
Even when you made a putt? Eh.
Not even like, hey, you're naturally great.
Because he was playing great to start.
He is really good at golf. Yeah. He's outstanding. And just as you might imagine, a delight to spend 18 holes with. Amazing.
Sure.
We're going to go on the Wayback Machine for the final 2 hours of the program. We're going to go to the 90s. Remember that I used to do the I Love the 90s?
Yeah. I love those shows.
Next hour, Jim Abbott's going to join us. Remember that day, September 4th, 1993, he threw a no-hitter of the Cleveland Indians at the time.
Yeah.
And by the way, do you know who was in that lineup? I looked it up. Lofton, Baerga, Bell, Manny, Tomei were five of the members of that.
You could make a case that's five Hall of Famers.
Right? Kenny Lofton, Carlos Baerga, Albert Bell, Manny Ramirez, and Jim Tomei. Jim Tomei was playing third that day.
Jim Tomei in the Hall of Fame.
Indeed. And then I Know What You Did Last Summer is available in theaters nationwide this Friday. It is a new installment of I Know What You Did Last Summer from 97. We might also talk She's All That with Freddie Prinze Jr. when he joins us in studio on R3.
Summer Catch.
Summer Catch. Right. He did the movie about the Cape Cod League.
Cape Cod.
I remember. Oh, Peter Gammons was so excited about that movie.
I bet.
Because he loved talking Cape Cod baseball.
I love the Cape League, man.
With Peter Gammons, the mighty Gammons. You know, and I'm like, I was excited about it for Jessica Biel. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean,
okay. Anyway, that's an hour's two and three, and Overreaction Monday will be coming up in the next hour as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Everybody on hold, stay on hold. We're going to take your phone calls for sure.
Talk about Matt Ryan. He finished 11th.
He did. Yeah,
yeah,
that's great, man.
He's awesome.
That's
74 yesterday.
I saw Taylor Twellman in coming in for, you know, a little PT love as well before his round yesterday. And I said to him, is this like a no-hitter? Do I not say to you? Because he was the leader.
He was.
After 2 days, you know.
And he was leading heading into the back nine yesterday. And then
I'm sure again,
just kind of lost it a little bit.
I cannot even imagine what that feeling must be like.
Yeah.
Because whatever that feeling was like, I was the exact opposite. Just
were you free and loose? Like, what was your mind space as your rounds were going on?
I was trying to be free and loose. Days two and three, thanks to a suggestion by the man on the bag, money manager Don, money manager of the Stars, Don Weir. A transfusion.
Oh, yeah. Great, great golf drink. Uh-huh. You never had one of those before? Oh,
I have.
Yeah.
Just not at 9:30 in the morning.
Well, I mean, sometimes they hit.
Sometimes they hit. Sometimes they slap.
Yeah.
And both occurred, sir.
Yeah. Sometimes it's needed.
Well, it was this time around.
Yeah.
That helped. Yeah. Transfusion helped.
It does.
You know?
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
Because that, you know.
How many did we have?
One on each side.
That's good.
One on the front, one on the back.
Yeah. Pro move.
And so, good Lord, man. And I just went from, feelings of elation to feelings of self-loathing. Like,
That's golf.
Absolute self-loathing.
Uh-huh.
Like, despising every fiber of my being.
I should never play again. All my clubs should go on the lake.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
So
you're a golfer. Yeah. You're a golfer.
I mean, you know, I think on tomorrow's show, I'm going to have the top five, new titles of my golf memoir. I thought of them. They were all like coming out of my mouth. I made mental notes about
it. I like it.
Sort of like the way we do our fantasy team name.
Yeah.
I have my top five golf memoir titles. We'll do that tomorrow. I don't want to. One of them might be I just hate myself. Mm. That might be the winner. I don't know. Turn in tomorrow.
I just hate myself.
That's tomorrow.
I like it.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Oh, I know what you mean.
Oh, but my last drive went right down the fairway on my final hole.
Keeps you coming back.
And I was right with Jay DeMarcus of Rascal Flatts. Yep. So I did sing Life is a Fairway. And then he sang the next line. It was great. I felt like lightning. Ka-chow.
Ka-chow.
On the last hole. Jim Abbott coming up.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.